Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
www.cityonhill.tv and just click on the picture of our men raising the flag over Iwo Jima, and that will lead to the podcast site. And we have got years and years of programming that you can access and download and share. And but as always, we like to start this program off really with an invitation to God to lead us. So I'm going to turn it over to our co-host, Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. I like the way you put that, that we're going to ask God to lead us in this broadcast. And I was going to share just a little bit about a great American preacher who asked God to lead him and his little flock. And the name of that great preacher was Thomas Hooker. And Thomas Hooker, Jesus Christ was Lord over Thomas Hooker and over every area of his life, including civil government. It was Thomas Hooker who was founder of the great state of Connecticut, the great colony, forgive me, of Connecticut. And it was the preacher, Thomas Hooker. He was a Puritan preacher. And he had been a part of the city on a hill established by John Winthrop in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, but he branched out and founded the Connecticut Colony. And it was Thomas Hooker and his elders in his church that wrote the foundation of their civil government in Connecticut. He wrote the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. He wrote the Constitution for Connecticut, he and his churchmen. And so it was such a noble effort and one that was very effective. And George Washington, later on, a couple of hundred years later on, brought those Fundamental Orders of Connecticut to the Constitutional Convention in 1787 to have the delegates from the various states examine this Constitution and to be able to take from it what they could in forming, in revising the Articles of Confederation for the United States of America, and then what they ended up doing was to create a brand new Constitution, much of which the Articles of Confederation contained as basis, and the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut contained, written by the great preacher, the Reverend Thomas Hooker, founder of Connecticut. So let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us, as he so beautifully led the Reverend Thomas Hooker. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many people, Lord, that you raised up over the years, Lord, to form the foundation of this great nation. We thank you, Father, that it was a very serious, thorough work of Thomas Hooker and the elders of his church and the other founding fathers, Lord, in the colonies, the Reverend Roger Williams founding Rhode Island, and the Reverend, so many pastors that were involved in laying the foundation for this nation. We thank you for them. And I pray, Father, that there would be a renaissance of going back, Father, to search out what they established and how great it was, Father, and why they established it, because it was in keeping with your word, Father, in keeping with those biblical principles that they did establish it, Lord. That's the why. Every time, Father, that which is good that we have today, Father, we can take it back to those biblical truths and principles that were established by the founding fathers. We just thank you that we are such beneficiaries of what the legacy they gave us. Help us, Lord, to protect it, preserve it, to pass it on to future generations, Lord. We had such an auspicious beginning, oh God, to end in the dust heap of history, Lord. Well, we desire, Father, for your glory to be continued in this nation, Lord, and that we would finish the race like we began, Lord. Finish it well, honoring you, obeying you, trusting you, and establishing everything according to your word, Lord. We thank you for this time. We do ask, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in this radio broadcast. But we know, Father, if it's just us saying what we think or our opinion on this or that, Lord, apart from you, it avails nothing. But, Father, with you, all kinds of things are accomplished that you want to have accomplished. So be with us, Father, and speak through us. And, Father, help us to listen and to have our ears finely tuned, Lord, to your truth, that we would recognize it, embrace it, and apply it, oh God. How wonderful you are. Everything you do is wonderful, oh God. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And Ms. Barbara, you know, God is opening doors. And I'm praying that, you know, many of us can walk in it. I'm reminded of the scripture where, you know, he told them about the donkey. That, you know, to tell whoever asked, that tell him that, you know, he had need of it. And then I was reminded of the other momentous occasion when he told him to follow a man, I think, who was carrying water, and then asked the master of that house, you know, to have a place where they could meet, you know, the Last Supper. And it was done. That house was opened up for them with a room ready. And I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, I think this is God doing something like that. We have in our heart this project to really open our eyes, and I'm feeling that God is answering our prayers. Eyes are being opened. And I remember one friend, Terry, saying something about Diana, if parents just knew about the sex ed part, if they could just get that, that they would just be in shock, and they would, in essence, be fighting. They would stand in the gap and be fighting what is going on in the public schools through, you know, what we've been talking about, the Common Core standards. And Ms. Barbara, today I titled it really, you know, this is going to be a show about sex ed and Common Core. And Ms. Barbara, if you'll just Google Obamacare to fund Planned Parenthood sex ed, if parents would just do that, Obamacare to fund Planned Parenthood sex ed, you would have all sorts of things come up. But one of the things that will come up will be an article from the Heartland, heartland.org. And there's a newspaper article there, Ms. Barbara, that was dated November 9, 2012, by a Mary Patritas Tillotson. And I'm so grateful for her article, because, Ms. Barbara, when you read it, you really, you know how the enemy comes at you not just in the front, but in the back in every way? Well, her article really talks about Planned Parenthood is going to, for 5 years, get $75 million for what sounds so good, personal responsibility education programs, Ms. Barbara. Personal responsibility education program. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, we know when it comes from Planned Parenthood, can you trust it? No, you cannot trust it.
Let's look at the philosophy of Planned Parenthood and, you know, just examine that for just a short time. You look at the philosophy behind it is they are in the baby-killing business. It's not parents planning. It's the opposite. It's parents not planning for children. You know, it's they're in the baby killing business. It's just as simple as that. And is that the philosophy that you want taught to our young people throughout this nation? I think most parents would answer no. I mean, that is the philosophy. They are all about making money from the tragedies of women, the difficult situations, and the serious tragic lives of many women, and they're going to profit from their sorrows, and they're going to kill the children in their womb, and it's going to be done as rapidly as possible. It's going to be done not with hospital standards of cleanliness and safety. Most doctors are not even allowed to practice in hospitals. I shouldn't even call them doctors, because they break the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take to protect life from the moment of conception on. But these butchers, they do it as quickly as possible. So, you know, we find out they don't wash their hands, the instruments are not clean, all sorts of infections result from this butchery. And that's not even talking about what happens to the little children in the womb. So that's a philosophy: make a lot of money off the difficulties of others and have a lot of sex, because the more sex that young people have, the more abortions will be sought and the more money that Planned Parenthood will make. And Gosnell, who is the poster child for the abortionist.
So, I mean, that's who they are.
Well, Ms. Barbara, can you, for those that are not familiar with how Planned Parenthood started, would you mind sharing a little bit briefly about that?
Well, the lady who started it was Margaret Sanger, and she was a racist. She wanted to eliminate the black race. She was a eugenist. She believed in much of what you saw in Nazi Germany with the trying to create this quote-unquote superior race. And so she was, there's no secret about that. She wanted to, that's why you find so many of the abortion mills in minority neighborhoods. Gosnell's abortion mill, that house of horrors, where there were baby parts found in the freezer and all sorts of nightmarish things that were seen there. But Gosnell's house of horrors was located in a minority neighborhood. And, that started with Sanger and creating a vehicle which would do that. And, that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. She's dead, but her vision lives on and is being carried out through Planned Parenthood today. And what is even worse is that our government is taking away our money to fund this this murdering institution, this murdering organization of Planned Parenthood. And I can't help but think, over this, just it hasn't been probably a month ago that President Barack Obama, who supports abortion and even late-term abortion and even killing a child after they're born if the abortion fails. But Barack Obama spoke to the Planned Parenthood convention or conference or whatever it was and had the nerve and the, I don't even know what to call it. It's heresy. It is heresy. It is, an abomination, but he had the nerve to say to them, "God bless you," as if God would bless Planned Parenthood. But anyway, that's a little bit about it. So Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate the black race.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I just saw a video the other day of some people in Texas. They're going against that abortion bill, and they want it to where it stops. I think at 20 or 22 weeks, they to no longer be able to perform abortion in their state. And
that's 5 months. That's a five-month-old baby in the womb.
Yes, and in the video that I saw, there were people that were giving their testimonies or something, or singing. They were singing Christian songs. And then there were people in the background, it tends to, that were chanting, of course, pro-abortion. But then there was one woman that was chanting Satan. And so I'm thinking, you could see that in the clip. I don't
Hail.
Know what you said. I can't remember.
H-A-I-L.
Oh,
Hail.
So you saw it too. Okay.
Wow. I didn't see it. I read about it.
Well,
it wasn't
just
one woman.
That just goes to show you, what we are fighting against. And as you said, it's an oxymoron when you say bless, because God does not bless the killing of these children. But
no.
One of the things that we're concerned about with Common Core as we've seen with what's already mandated across one state, his home state, unfortunately, Obama's ears, he's tuned to Planned Parenthood amongst other peoples. You know, they, I mean, I remember the budget crisis. You know, there was a budget crisis, and I remember Planned Parenthood had to have their way, and they did, because they've got the president's ear. So here, when you see $75 million, Obamacare is going to fund Planned Parenthood, and they're going to have this personal responsibility education program. And Ms. Barbara, I really don't know it all, and it's really going to be up to the parents to find out. But we really need to get the parents to be aware that, you know, this could come in different ways to their child. You know, it could come through health, health ed, whatever. It could come through another way. I don't know which way it's going to go to. I know that from what I saw in our state of Alabama, the Department of Health applied for the grant money. And I'm just curious if the Department of the Health is not really the ones that pretty much oversees the health ed part of the school's programs.
Hmm.
And if that's the case, will this be creeping in? I just don't know. But this is why it's so important for teachers at the first of the year. They need to be looking for that sex ed or health ed opt-out form, and really they need to, I think they're supposed to have the right to look at the, you know, the books and the videos and all those things that will go along with these health ed or sex ed. So they need to really be demanding to see them before presentation. And I just really think, you know, when you expose that child to that picture or to that thinking, you have taken away that child's innocence, and you cannot get it back.
No, no, you can't. And, you know, the Bible tells us as believers that we are to think upon those things that are pure and holy and noble and decent and worthy of praise. We're to keep our minds on those things. And it also says that we're not to put any wicked thing before our eyes. And, you know, we are to care for and shelter our children, to train them up in the way they should go. Well, how do we want them to go? You know, do we want them to become sexually active, practicing fornication, which, by the way, the Bible says that fornicators cannot enter into heaven. You know, do we want them to be fornicators at younger and younger ages and, you know, experience all that goes along with that, including the something like, last account I knew, 57 sexually transmitted diseases, and among other things, you know, sexually active youngsters are prime candidates for abortions, which, you know, for young women, not only the spiritual death that follows, but the emotional turmoil and the physical ramifications for abortion, such as much higher rates of breast cancer. I think there are higher rates of ovarian cancer. You know, so there, in addition to the sexually transmitted diseases, in other words, a world of pain and sorrow await those who become sexually active youngsters. You know, it's just, is this what we want for our children? Really? Really? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, we don't want that for our children. And I just, you know, I got an email from Miss Betty, and she was very concerned about the story about a hazing in school. And I don't know if you got it too, Ms. Barbara, but, you know, that's just like a dagger in the heart. And when I see that parents are asleep on the issue of Common Core, on what may be coming their way with the National Sexuality Education Standards, it's like a dagger in the heart, because we know that if parents just knew, you know, these majority of parents in their right mind would do everything and anything to prevent their child from getting hurt. They know, most of them know that this is not appropriate for children to see, you know, at these early ages, as we saw with it, it's perfectly normal. That's an approved textbook supplement already in the state of Illinois for grades 10 on up. It's heartbreaking.
Well, you know, it's insidious. It's just insidious. It is, it's creeping into this philosophy of recreational sex for younger and younger ages and destroying the innocence of children, and everything that is behind that philosophy. It's creeping in. Well, I could say galloping in rather than creeping. In places, it's galloping, like TV, movies, internet, etc. But then even, Diana, even something like a board game, I had occasion to see this for my own eyes this past week. I had purchased a board game that the family played with, many years ago, let's say. And then I found out, and I had that board game, and I played that with my children, grandchildren. And but then I saw the new updated version. Well, quite a change, every which way, including the way the characters are dressed in a real sleazy, sensual manner now, instead of prim and properly dressed. Just, you know, that was the starting point. And it goes downhill from that point on, you know. And, you know, it's creeping into all, even a board game, Diana. I probably shouldn't have been shocked, but I was shocked.
Oh, Ms. Barbara, I saw the parents, y'all need to write these down, what we're talking about. One of them, we just talked about the article from Heartland, which when you go to cityonhill.tv, the blog talk radio, I have put the links on there. But if you want to put it in yourself, you really need to be reading these articles on Obamacare to fund Planned Parenthood sex ed. If you'll Google that, you'll see the Heartland article. But another thing, Ms. Barbara, is there's a video called Indoctrination, and that is such a good video. I know it is, you know, asking the churches, the parents to wake up what is unfortunately in the schools. Again, Ms. Barbara, one of the things, you know, again, that I remember seeing in that video was when people are asked to rate their school, Ms. Barbara, they rate their schools with an A or B. I mean, they will rate the other schools with a C. Other people's schools are always worse, you know. I guess that's why me. Other people's towns are always worse than mine. Mine's so great. But when you look at the facts of what's actually happening, it's like you being shot with that. It is there, too.
Yeah, it is. And we either don't see it, you know, the people we deal with, the ones that, you know, we are, you know, nice people. But it's
and
everywhere.
And Barbara, I think, too, you know, one of the reasons we see more is, as you have been saying it all along, the children have been sexualized, and it's been happening for a long time. And so now we, you know, we find, why are there more sex abuse? Why are there more rapes? Why are there more molesters in jail? You know, every time you turn around and we're hearing of a case, seeing of a case, well, really, it's a product of years of where, you know, you see it in the culture, in the television, where it's almost a promotion. Or I shouldn't say almost, it is a promotion. So then it's like when you plant these seeds, what can you expect to reap?
Exactly, exactly. You know, C.S. Lewis talked about this in something he wrote called Men Without Chests. And in this essay, he talked about how we allow our culture to put down, mock, ridicule, make fun of, and be dismissive of anything that is patriotic and noble and heroic. And we allow this, our culture, to do this. And then we demand that our young men be heroic, you know, noble. We demand that they be knights in shining armor when we've allowed our culture to do everything possible in every different way to keep that from happening, to produce that which is base and vile and self-seeking. And you know, this business, and you think about what we're saying to our children and our grandchildren with an education system that says it's all about you. It's all about you. What you want, what you want to accomplish, what you, it's, and it's all about, you know, this self-aggrandizement, you know. And again, then we expect them to be compassionate, caring, sacrificial. You know, we're saying one thing and demanding another. You know, we're allowing these things. It's just what we have to do is we have to look. What do we want them to be like? Do we, if we want them to be pure, then we better put purity before them. If we want them to be noble, we better tell them about the heroes of the past. What do we want them to be? And then you determine that first, and then you do those things that will bring that about. What they read, what they hear, what they see, what they experience. And, you know, I mean, there is no other way. We allow the Lord to work in our hearts and produce Himself in us, and then we practice. We become good by practicing. We become honest by practicing honesty, you know, and not practicing dishonesty. You know, am I making any sense to you?
Oh yes, Miss Barbara. I think of it as like a storm that's getting started. You know, it's almost like a lot of the people on the left do not, and the planners of what they're doing with the education system, does not get it that what they have started as a small storm going the way that they think is best is really going to be a tornado that they'll be caught up in, because what they are breeding, again, is what I'm reminded of, is a dog-eat-dog world. And the respect that they thought they were getting, these children, when they grow up, they're not going to respect these people either, because the mentality is going to be so gone. I mean, the goodness that would have respected anybody, is they're going to annihilate. And so they don't get that. But it's going back to what the Bible says, Barbara, you know, think upon things that are holy, good, and pure. Well, they're exposing these kids to things that are unholy, not good, not pure, not realizing they will also pay the price.
Yeah, they will. And you know, so many times, well, you know, the Bible says that until we are born of God's Spirit, or born again, or born from above, not our earthly entrance into the world, but our spiritual awakening, until that veil is lifted, you know, we see things very differently. Then it's just the material. It's all about you. It's all about now. It's all about, you know, what you can get, not what you can give. It's all about that. And that's the way of the world. And so there's a real lack of understanding. Well, you know, unless you get saved and born again when you are very young, you grow up into this worldly mindset. And you know, you do whatever according to that worldly mindset. But there have been...
And Barbara, isn't
been...
that... Well, go ahead, Barbara.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, when you get older, you might have a spiritual awakening, and boy, oh boy, then looking back, you regret terribly, especially if you were very effective in promoting worldliness. You have many, many regrets looking back because you know that that's not the way to go.
Well, you know, and this is why they're wanting the children to be trained up at a younger age. Because it's like the Bible says, right? Train them in the training and admonition of the Lord, and it can work the other way while they're young, right? They'll not depart in it if you raise them that way, so they're thinking. And so they want that fresh slate before they even hit kindergarten, right, Ms. Barbara? They're already making plans on that little mind, how to, you know, make that little mind think the way that they want it to think. So, parents, when you're seeing all this, oh, child care help for you is going to be great. You're working so hard. But now you're going to get help from the government because daycare is going to be provided for. So, therefore, it's an incentive to go to work, right, Mom? What they don't realize, though, Ms. Barbara, is somebody has a plan for their child and the way their child is going to grow up. And you've got to really look down the road. You hear so many parents whose hearts are broken because of what happened to their children. And some of it could have been prevented, some not. But, you know, it's going to be worse than ever because the norm now is going to, unfortunately, as we have seen, you know, 6 out of 10 children depart from the way that they were raised once they go into college. As bad as that is already, Ms. Barbara, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when it's now from birth to 12th grade and on to college. That mindset is perpetrated and trained. I mean, you're talking about you'll have a miracle if one child makes it through.
Yeah. You know, the younger... It's all about control and controlling the thoughts of the young people and training them up in this philosophy. And as you said, they're getting them at younger and younger ages. And, you know, we have a tendency to think, well, yeah, that's happening in California, New York, you know, but not here in the Bible Belt, but... it was a couple of years ago, Diana, that I saw an advertisement in the one ads, the classifieds, in our local newspaper here in Southeast Alabama, advertising for a teacher for 1 year old with the federal government program. So this has been coming, and they get them at younger and younger and younger ages. And I know that it was about and this was in this area, and it was about probably 6 or 7 years ago. I had occasion to call into a radio show where the Dothan City Superintendent was speaking and answering questions. So I called in. I was concerned about the younger and younger ages at which the federal government was trying to get the children. So I called in and I talked about how the four-year-old program had just been completed for public schools, the Head Start, the four-year-olds here in Dothan. And I said, are you planning on next going to the three-year-olds and then the two-year-olds and then the one-year-olds? And he said, yes, that's in the plan. And, you know, I knew that's what was happening, but it was kind of shocking to hear an administrator in education actually answering that one truthfully. But, you know, it didn't get a ripple. It didn't get there was no wave that came from it. Just it's as if we're walking around. We don't have eyes to see and ears to hear.
I know it, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, you think about this president, he will have had 8 years. So, you know, when they're looking at their plans and the big pictures, you know, you think, wow, that's a lot of time to make plans at the top. I mean, what they're doing is planting seeds, opening doors, you know. And we don't even realize that parents are asleep. And I think I've quoted this before, but one of the things that was shocking to me was from the National Sexuality Education Standard book, Ms. Barbara, which people can just Google that, National Sexuality Education Standards. And you'll find
it's pretty national.
Yeah, sexuality education standard. You'll see this pretty blue, teal blue book with circles. And it looks very, very inviting. What a pretty book. But when you look at who wrote the book, who are some, I think we talked about that, Ms. Barbara. You know, it's Planned Parenthood. It's Glisson. And, you know, in essence, they want to be your child's expert. And I'm thinking, if parents knew that, of course they wouldn't want that to happen. But, and this is why it's so sad, Ms. Barbara, when pastors don't stand up and educate their congregation, because I almost think that that parent is thinking that their pastors are like that voice, you know. I mean, when someone's dying, the pastor's there, right? When there's an emergency, somebody gets in an accident or something, you know, your pastor's there ministering to you, praying with you. And the pastors just don't get it, Ms. Barbara. If this is not an emergency situation, I don't know what is. We're talking about losing the children of America.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely right. And if we could just awaken the pastors and get them going in the right direction with this, honestly, Diana. Now, I did hear, I guess it was on the radio this morning on my way to Aquaside, about in a small town, I've got to find out more about it. There are some pastors who are building bridges, and they're visiting one another's churches and speaking in one another's churches, and they're bringing some truth to the people about our culture and what's going on. And so that was very encouraging. But it's got to happen all over, you know. It's got to happen. It has to be God's people that bring it forth, because no one else is interested in this, in keeping purity and all of this? You don't know. I mean, they're not. It's going to have to be the churches.
Well, isn't that just like what God said? So, Miss Barbara, it points back to, if my people who are called by his name will humble themselves and seek his face, and I will heal and turn from their wicked ways, and I will heal their land. And the pastors are the leaders of these people. So we've got to pray for that great awakening, and that the pastor's heart will be broken, Miss Barbara. I just don't know how it can. If when they hear what's going on, I would think it would break, because they're a child of God. Like I keep thinking, God is a God of an incredible amount of mercy. Because when I hear what's being done to these children, I almost think, you know, Lord, when's it going to end? I just can't bear the thought of what's happening in these homosexual marriages to their adopted children, Miss Barbara. You know, I saw an article about that. And I've been sharing that with everybody I can, because, you know, they're the voices you never hear. You don't have anybody really speaking up for those children. But yet, that's where we're headed. You know, there will be an increase of adoption of those children. And they're going to be in a place where they can't move, they can't leave, they can't even scream and anybody hear them that will help them. And if we're not careful, Miss Barbara, even if they were to scream and their neighbors heard them, when the police knocks on the door, they'll just brush it under the rug.
Yeah, because they are now considered a protected, not the children, but the union. The union there is considered a protected part of society. With these recent, the recent Supreme Court decision and other things that are going on, and the aggressive promotion of this in every way, they are being considered a protected segment of society beyond the normal civil rights of citizens, you know. Diana, you're right. It absolutely is going to increase the adoptions for homosexual couples, and there won't, people will be afraid to fight this in the courts, considering the makeup of the courts we have today. Legislators, so many of them care more about the next election. The churches have got to get involved. Again, it goes back to the pastors and the congregations, and it's up to us. It is up to us.
And I think right now, Ms. Barbara, is a good time. I think right now we have a very good chance. But it's like what you were talking about, men without chest, you know.
Yeah.
We have got to get men with spines. We have got to get men and women with spines, because I think if we don't speak out now, there's not anybody going to be listening in the future. You know, it's going to be
right.
A dog world where nobody will care about anybody but themselves. It's again, like you're saying, you know, we got to be careful, because we are raising a children of that is selfish. It's all about them, what makes them happy. And that is so different from the founding fathers' intent, you know, love God, love country, you know. I mean, they gave their very best for us, and they thought of their future. You know, always that was wonderful to hear that they always thought of their posterity in all their decisions in Congress, Ms. Barbara.
Yeah, always, always. There were a few bad apples among them, like Aaron Burr, who thought of himself and so forth. But for the most part, they were men who sacrificed in order to pass on the freedom and the ordered freedom, though, the ordered freedom. It's not a license to sin kind of freedom that has been portrayed in recent years. No, they didn't believe in that at all. They believed in an ordered freedom, a freedom under law, because without the rule of law, there is no freedom. Then it just becomes arbitrary, and whoever is in charge makes up the rules as they go along. But freedom under the law, and you have to have the rule of law. And they were all about that. It was more than just for themselves. It was that would have been considered by them as very useless to do all that they did for just themselves. That never entered into the picture. And you know, because they were that way, they were able to pass on to us this gift of freedom, this holy gift of freedom. And it is a holy thing. It is a holy thing. And it must be acknowledged as such to be kept. Because if we don't understand the principles of freedom according to God's truth, then it cannot be maintained. Freedom cannot be maintained. You know, Ben Franklin, in that speech before the Constitutional Convention in 1787, he talked about, is it probable that an empire can rise without the aid of God? You know, is it probable? No, it's not. And is it probable that an empire can be maintained without God? No, it is not. I mean, what you have to do to bring it about, you know, unless you continue to do that, it cannot be maintained. And so that's what we're seeing right before our very eyes.
Well, Miss Barbara, you know, the great thing I think is, you know, we live in the land where really this has happened before. As a matter of fact, that's how this nation started, right? Fighting against tyranny. And so, you know, we are, this is nothing new. And we have seen the hand of God. And, you know, it's so incredible when you think of the hand of God. He is the difference maker, Miss Barbara. I know there's people that we get so discouraged, and I know I do too, about what's going on in public school, to the point that you think, Lord, you know, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? But then we can pray to God. And I love the scripture that says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I was reminded of that. And I was reminded that he has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in, you know, if you more greed. But, you know, we can bind things here. And we can lose things, you know, lose things in heaven. And I'm thinking, isn't it time, Ms. Barbara, that we use the best weapons we have? I mean, God has gifted it to us. And, you know, sometimes people act like, oh, there's nothing I can do. But as history has shown, and we have that wonderful picture of George Washington getting down on his knee and praying. And you've told me the story before, Ms. Barbara, when the Quaker heard him. Would you mind telling us about that picture, what happened when the Quaker heard him?
Oh, Isaac Potts. I haven't told that story in a long time. I'm afraid I can't do it justice, but, you know, the Quakers were pacifists. And did not believe in going to war and or serving in the military. And but Isaac Potts lived close to Valley Forge, and he was passing by, and he overheard someone speaking, and he went to look, and it was, he saw George Washington kneeling in the snow and pouring out his heart to God. Oh, I almost cried thinking about it. And so he just poured out his heart, and Isaac Potts couldn't help but just be mesmerized and just compelled to listen to what he was saying. And so he went home. Isaac Potts went home and told his wife that, "Hannah, I think we've been mistaken. I am very much mistaken." He said, "God is going to help the Americans, the patriots. He's going to help them win this war because they're on the side of righteousness, you know." And it was an eye opener for him and for his wife. And you know, George Washington was a man of prayer who, all through his life, he began with prayer every day, and he closed every day with prayer. And when he was at home at Mount Vernon, he was on his knees before an open Bible the first hour of every day. And the last hour, he retired to his room at 9 o'clock, regardless of who was staying at Mount Vernon, what guests were there. He retired at 9 o'clock for that hour on his knees before an open Bible. And, you know, Mount Vernon was always filled with visitors. And the general and Mrs. Washington, Lady Washington, always offered hospitality. But on Sunday mornings, regardless of what anyone else did, the general and Lady Washington would be on their way to church, and everyone would be invited to join them there. But they didn't refrain from going to church because of deaths or any other reason. Only weather could keep them from attending church on Sunday, but nothing else. But he was a great man of prayer and a great man of wisdom and good judgment. Thomas Jefferson said that George Washington had the best judgment of any man of that time. And there were some great men of great judgment, but he had the best, according to Jefferson, and that was simply because he had of his relationship with God through Christ and his study of the Word of God and that prayer, that daily prayer. He maintained that close relationship so that he could hear God when God spoke to him, and God could lead and guide him, which he did so beautifully.
Well, Miss Barbara, I tell you, you had me teared up too, because, you know, we want that again. We want God to hear our prayers and to do that again one more time, Lord. You know, to intervene for our families, our nation. And we're going to ask that on Friday, those that could join us, to join us in praying for your, you know, your concerns with schools or whatever. And we just want to really give you an opportunity starting this Friday, and we'd like to do it really every Friday, for you to come and join us and pray, you know, pray about what's going on in your child's schools and around him, and we want to just lift up those prayers and agree with you. Because he says when two or more, you know, agree, you know, we can do that binding, loosening. So We're about out of time, Ms. Barbara, so you started the show off in prayer, so I'm going to end it. Do you have any last words for parents before we do that?
Well, I think you spoke the last words, that we go to the Lord in prayer. That's the place to begin, and that's the place to stay, and then to apply what how God leads us as we study His Word and spend time with Him in prayer. That's what we've got to do. So let's pray.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And I do ask listeners to share the podcast in the description of today's podcast. And you'll see the National Sexuality Education Standard link and the Planned Parenthood link. It's, you know, you've got to do your homework. You are your child's best helper. You can, you know, go before God and you know, just hold that child up before God, as we're going to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love You. We thank You, Lord, that You are God. We thank You, Lord, that You said to come boldly to the throne of grace. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings of having shown us over and over again throughout this nation's history, the world's history, Your magnificent hand, and that You hear our prayers, You hear our pleas. And Lord, what a magnificent way You provide, Lord. We just see the provision, Lord, for George Washington, the founding fathers, those who fought, and in the formation of the Constitution, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, there is nothing like You. So, Lord, we ask that You just, Lord, have mercy upon us and our families, our children, this nation. Lord, we have went wayward, Lord, but we ask that You hear our plea. We ask that You give us supernatural wisdom and discernment on what to do, Lord. And, Lord, we just pray for every parent, Lord, more of them throughout this land will hear the truth, Lord, and they will seek the truth and find the truth, and that they will ask You, Lord, to show them the way, what they should do in their own part of this nation, Lord, that, Lord, that these children will be trained rightly, Lord, in the training and admonition of the Lord. And we pray for many pastors, Lord, to realize, Lord, that Common Core will be a stumbling block. Lord, Your word says it's better to hang a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the depth of the sea than to let these little ones stumble. And, Lord, that's what this Common Core is. It's going to lead them to stumble. So we stand in the gap, and we ask that You send us pastors, Lord. We ask that You send us lay people, Lord. We ask that You send us parents, grandparents, Lord, to stand in the gap and make a difference and turn the tide, Lord, so that this evil thing, Lord, a tool for enslaving the minds of children, that it will not win, Lord. It will be defeated, and it will be done because You are a merciful God, not that we deserve something else, Lord, but because of Your tender mercies. So we just thank You, Lord, and we praise You, and we just ask this, Lord, in the precious, mighty name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners. Amen. May God bless you and God shine His face upon you. And tomorrow, please tune in. We've got Pastor Wayne and Ms. Barbara to teach you more of true history. Please go to www.cityonahill.tv and be sure to tune in this Thursday, Ms. Barbara. We've got Charlotte Iserby joining us, so I think people should not be missing out on that, too.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Barbara, and we'll talk to you again later. God bless you. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.